British Public Radio. Drama.
This programme contains themes of an adult nature. Listener discretion is advised.
A Mother's Love by Paul Kenny.
How are you?
Not bad, Mum.
Oh, please don't, Mum. Sorry. It doesn't help, I know. It's just seeing you here like this. You look so lonely and vulnerable.
I'm okay, Mum. Don't worry.
It's this place. It's so... That first knock on the door, and the police standing there, asking for you. I never imagined it would end up here. I thought the nightmare would soon be over, but it just gets worse by the day.
I'm sorry.
Are you eating?
Not really.
I heard this spit in it.
No, they don't, Mum. It's just dreadful, that's all.
Well, you've got to eat, Tony.
Well, for God's sake, Mother. I'm going to be in here for at least a couple of years. You're going to have to let me look after myself now. Anyway, I deserve to be here. You said so yourself, remember? In the cells at court.
I was in shock, Tony. You said you were innocent for almost a year and I believed you.
I wish you had.
I couldn't believe you dragged her to court after what you'd already done.
That's why I changed my plea.
You changed your plea because your barrister told you to. What was it they called it? A plea bargain?
It was nothing like they said. I didn't do half those things. I was drunk. Got out of hand. I had to change my plea or I would have been rotting in here for years. That and the fact I wasn't the monster they made me out to be at the trial.
Monster? You were my angel. My beautiful little angel.
Were. So how has it been for you? Since court and me being splashed all over the evening papers?
Not bad, really. It soon died down.
What do you mean? Soon died down? What died down?
Oh, it was nothing.
Mum, we're going to be doing this for a while. I'll be in here worrying about you and you'll be out there worrying about me. We've got to be honest with each other. Promise each other to tell the truth. At least when we say things are relatively okay, we can believe one another. Mum. What do you say? Do you want to go first?
I had a visit. From her father.
What?
Oh, it was nothing. All hot air in the garden. I locked the doors until the police arrived and took him away. Christ knows who called them. As if it hasn't been embarrassing enough.
Shit. If only Dad was still around.
Good God, no. For the first time in 10 years, I'm actually relieved he's not here. He would have been disgusted with you.
I know he would, Mum.
You said be honest, Tony.
Yeah.
Work would have been a nightmare for him. His world was much bigger than mine. Apart from your Aunt Mary when she was alive and a handful of neighbours, my world revolved around you and your dad. At least I can lock my doors and shut everyone else out. Your father would have been severely compromised, Tony.
Oh, no. I just meant he could have been there for you, Mum. That's all.
Well, he's not. So let's just be grateful for that small mercy.
And what have the neighbours been like?
Oh, they're all experts on prison life, apparently. It was Alice who told me about the spitting. Her son saw it on telly. Anyway, your turn.
I was spat on and punched when I first got on the wing.
Punched?
It was nothing. It didn't really connect. They put me on a general wing and word got out about my offence. I think it must have been one of the screws I let on.
Screws?
Prison officers.
After that, they moved me to the VP wing.
You've lost me again.
Vulnerable prisoners.
Christ, it's another language.
Well, it's for those that owe money, have mental health problems and...
paedophiles?
I'm not a paedophile, Mother. She wasn't a little girl I lured into my house with a promise of sweets and puppy dogs.
She's a child, Tony. A schoolgirl. At your school. Growing up and impressionable. Flattered by the attention of a grown man.
I didn't force her.
You're an adult, Tony. That's why you should have protected her. From herself. She was in your care.
Please don't make a scene, Mum.
You were in a position of trust and you abused that trust.
You sound like the prosecution.
Facts are facts, Tony. Could you? How could you behave like that after all your father and I did for you? How could you? You...
nonce. That's what they call us. A nonsense case.
It doesn't make sense, Tony. Not to me it doesn't. None of this does. You had girlfriends. Women. Your own age. Perhaps when you've attended the classes. Perhaps then it will all start to make sense and we can all finally start to move on.
I don't need anyone here telling me why I did what I did. I was drunk, that's all. Stupid, perhaps, but I'm not one of them. I'm not like them.
I understand it can't be easy, but the sooner you attend, the better.
I can't do it, Mum.
It's for the best, son. Once you start...
But it's the formal assessments next week and I'll be telling them what I'm telling you, Mum. I won't be doing any group for paedophiles.
So what will happen to you?
I'll most likely be shipped out to another prison.
Shipped out? Where to? When?
Can visitors start making their way to the exits, please? Thank you.
I'm not sure, Mum. You have to go.
Please, Tony. At least think about it, eh? Keep your options open.
Time, please.
Tell them you'll do it. You can always say no later, but don't rush your decision.
I'll write soon, Mum. Try not to worry.
Promise me, you'll think about it.
You have to go, Mum. Bye.
Bye, love. Bye. Bye.
I'm sorry to intrude, but I couldn't help but notice your distress.
Stop crying. Sorry.
I'm Father Dixon, Dominic Dixon, the prison chaplain. Do you need to talk to someone? I've got ID. Here, let me show you.
It's okay. The dog collar's a giveaway.
Well, I could be in fancy dress. Visiting a friend.
It's kind of you, Father, but I'm not really a religious person. Sorry.
You don't have to apologise. I'm not offering divine intervention. If I could run to that, I'd ask him to stop this bloody rain.
Christ, I'm sorry. You're getting wet. Do you want to get in? Here. Let me turn the heater up so you can dry out. I'm Christine, by the way.
Please, call me Dominic.
Well, Dominic, I need you to know that I don't make a habit of breaking down in public places. This is all very new to me, that's all.
I see a lot of tears in and around this place.
It's my son, Tony. He abused a girl. One of his pupils. 14.
I see. Always a shock for loved ones.
You can say that again.
Well, for what it's worth, he's in good hands. For all its faults, this place has an excellent reputation for rehabilitating sex offenders.
He says he's not staying here. He's refusing to do the classes.
The sex offender programme?
Yes, the programme. I haven't got the language sorted yet.
Oh, you will. It takes a while, but you'll get used to it.
If I'm honest, I can hardly look at him. I'm his mother, and he's my only child, but I'm worried sick because I think... I think I'm starting to hate him.
Well, I doubt that, Christine. You wouldn't be crying into your steering wheel in a prison car park if you hated him. You don't hate him. You hate what he did.
How can I separate them? Isn't your behaviour what you do? Isn't that a result of who you are and what you are?
Oh, I'm not sure. We're not talking about the whole person, are we, Christine? We're talking about sex and sexual behaviour. We can't define a whole person by one element of their behaviour, can we?
He had sex. Full sex. With a child.
And I'm not for one minute condoning that, Christine.
He should have known better.
Because that's how you brought him up?
Yes. That's how his father and I brought him up. With love and respect. He's a teacher. Was a teacher. I need to go. I've got a doctor's appointment.
Of course.
Look, Dominic, I appreciate you trying to help. It was kind of you, but as I say, I'm not really a religious person.
I wasn't aware that I was preaching, Christine.
No, you weren't. Sorry.
Well, if you change your mind, there's a direct line. If you need someone neutral to talk to and you want to bypass the pomp and ceremony of this place, you know where to find me.
Thank you. Dear Tony, thank you for your letter informing me that you have been moved to HMP Littledale. They don't mess about, do they? I must say that I was extremely disappointed to learn that you were turned down for the sex offender programme. I had hoped that you would have reflected on your decision and taken this opportunity to make the most of what was on offer at Wybury. Whilst I appreciate that it wouldn't have been easy for you to have, as you put it, sat around with a bunch of real pedos all day, I'm sure the programme would have helped you to understand why you committed your offence and thus ensure nothing like this could ever happen again. I hope that, as your mother, you will at least understand my frustration. I'm not judging you, but you did say we needed to be honest with one another, Tony. Maybe you will get the chance to reflect on your decision and possibly change your mind soon. Anyway, nothing much to report from this end, really. Henry spent 2 hours on the vet's table after he was gone.
It's okay. There's no spit in them. They're from the machine.
Thanks. So, how's this place? It feels different. How can I put it? Harsher.
It is. But so far so good, as none of the other prisoners know why I'm here. I've told those who ask that I'm in for fraud and, you know, they seem to be buying it. Just need to keep the screws. Sorry, the prison officers on my side, so they don't out me.
So, what will you do with yourself? It's a long time to kill.
It's talk of me working in the library. That's where they tend to put you if you've got half a brain cell. It's very popular, though, so I might have to stay on gardening for a while.
Gardening?
I'm really enjoying it.
Really?
It gets me out in the open. When you're focusing on a job with a warm breeze on the back of your neck and you can hear the birds singing, you forget where you are for a while.
You used to help your dad in the garden when you were about 5, at the old house.
Yeah, wouldn't let me near his prize roses, though. I thought about him a lot whilst gardening, remembering some of the things he taught me, even though it was years ago and I was only a kid.
I can still picture you both together. He was always so calm and relaxed in the garden. Had so much time for you there. So patient.
Can't imagine him sitting in here, though. Like you said, he'd have been disgusted.
But you could me.
Sorry?
Imagine me sitting in this place. You do realise that it takes almost twice as long to get to this place as it did your last prison.
I suppose I did take it for granted, Mum.
Never crossed your mind, did it? Sent me a visiting order within days of getting here, just assuming I'd come.
I'm sorry. Why was it, getting here?
Oh, you know. Up at 6, sort the dogs out. 2 hours driving, most of it on the bloody motorway, which I hate, and haven't used since my accident. Then just the half hour spent searching for a parking space before being fleeced of almost £5 for the privilege.
I'll send you some money when I can.
I don't want your money, Tony. You asked about my journey and I'm just telling you. That's all. Your actions have consequences, for God's sake.
No, Mum. But I could hardly stay at the last prison and do the programme just because the prison was closer now, could I?
So, what about in the longer term, when you get out? Have you thought about what you might do then?
Christ, I don't know. I'm just going to try and take it one day at a time, and all being well, one of these days I'll look up and I'll be at the gates. I can access what there is in my pension and I'll live on that and my savings until something comes up.
Something? Well, you'll need to be giving it some thought, Tony. It's not going to be easy.
I've always wanted to write. But who's going to want to buy a book written by a nonce? Could always use a pseudonym, I suppose.
Just listen to yourself, Tony. You're sitting in prison, having ruined I don't know how many lives, and all you can find to worry about is having to write a book under a bloody pen name.
It's just an idea. Or something to get me through this and beyond. It's not easy for me.
Does your ego know no bounds? It's all about you, isn't it? She wasn't the only one who was flattered, was she?
What's that supposed to mean?
You were just as flattered as she was, weren't you? Flattered by the attention of a girl, finding her feet in the world, celebrating a new body in a low-cut top.
You're making a scene, Mum.
The revealing top your barrister made such an issue of. That wasn't for you. It was for her, you idiot. You're pathetic.
Please, I need your support. I can't get through this on my own.
And I need you to take responsibility, Tony. For once in your life, I need you to take some bloody responsibility for your actions and stop running away from your problems.
Told you, Mother. I'm not one of them. I've talked to the screws at Wybury. Some of them abuse small kids, babies, for Christ's sake. I'm not a paedophile and I won't let you or anyone else try and make me one.
It's just a matter of degree, Tony. Like I keep saying, however you look at her, she was still a child.
A matter of degree? You know nothing, Mother. They grow up so quickly now. I didn't deflower her like the prosecution said. She was already sexually active. She was doing much worse with a boyfriend. She showed me on a mobile.
Stop it.
You wouldn't believe some of the stuff they were doing. She made all the moves. She wanted to show me how grown up she was.
I said stop, Tony.
Well, Christ, they're all porn stars now. The way they dress, they groom themselves down there.
Enough.
She was nothing but a little whore in any man.
I said stop it.
Everything okay here?
Yeah. Sorry, we're...
Madam?
Yes. Fine. I don't think I can do this, Tony.
What do you mean? You're not going to visit anymore?
This is of your making, Tony. I had it thrown in my lap.
But you're my mother.
Yes. And I've been wiping your arse and holding your hand for far too long, son. Like you said, I'm going to have to let you look after yourself now.
I need you to visit, Mum, please.
Instead of wrapping you in cotton wool and stroking your bloody ego. That's what she did, isn't it? Stroked your pathetic ego. You. Well, it's time for some tough love, Tony, and I should have done it years ago, and then this might not have happened.
What isn't your fault, Mum?
No! No, it isn't my fault my son gets his kicks having sex with schoolgirls. but it's my fault he's nothing more than a spoilt brat.
Mum, don't do this.
All right, Tony. I'll visit every couple of months or so.
Mum, please.
I hope you make the most of your time in here, son. I really do.
Mum. Mum! Mother!
Dear Anthony, firstly, I would like to start by apologising for my emotional exit yesterday. I appreciate that you currently have to live your life in a public arena, and my behaviour must have been embarrassing, to say the least. I sincerely hope there were no repercussions for you. The last thing I wanted to do was expose you in any way. That said, Anthony, I must stress I will not collude with your opinion that your victim, that's what she is, Anthony, was in any way responsible for your behaviour. Don't think that it's not tempting to share your view. It would make this nightmare much more bearable if I could blame her too, but I can't. I blame you, Anthony, and your decision to disengage from those trying to help you appalls me. That's not an easy thing for a mother to say about her only child, and although I will always love you, I think it's for the best that you hear my true feelings. Whilst I appreciate how isolated you must feel, I'm simply not prepared to drag myself all that way every fortnight to listen to you going on about how awful this is for you, and listen to you saying those vile things about a young girl. I really hope that you can face up to your demons, as I'm convinced that you will feel better about yourself the sooner you do. That has to come from you, though, son. In the meantime, please take care of yourself. Love, Mum.
The silver moon is set. The pioneers are gone. Half the night is spent, and yet.
Thank you so much for agreeing to meet me, Dominic, especially on your day off.
It's okay, Christine. If you were religious, I might have been tempted to risk a corny, "The Lord never clocks off and neither do I," but as you're not, I'll have to resist. So, we weren't good enough for him at Wybury?
Appears not. I was desperate for him to attend the programme.
I know, Christine, but for whose benefit? His or yours?
I don't understand.
He's not ill. They can't cure him. There's no magic bullet, Christine. Attending the programme won't allow you to turn the clock back and make everything okay again.
No, I guess not. I'm just so afraid that I won't be able to love him anymore. That's an awful feeling for a mother, and I feel so guilty.
Well, you shouldn't, Christine.
But a mother's love's supposed to be unconditional, isn't it?
Is it?
Oh, the thing is, I've learned that mine's not. It's conditional. I just about got used to the act, the sex. And you're right, I can't turn back the clock and have my old son back. But what I can't accept is the denial. The victim blaming. It's vile. It's like it's coming from another person. Not my Anthony. My love... it's conditional. It's conditional on him taking responsibility for what he did. I need him to take responsibility and stop denying what happened and why.
Denial is functional, Christine. Oh, sorry, you're right. This really is another language. Denial helps him protect his perception of himself. As much as you don't want to view him as a bogeyman, neither does he. You say he refuses to be labelled a paedophile?
Adamantly.
Well, that's because he's not. He's not a paedophile. Paedophiles are attracted to prepubescent kids, the lowest of the low as far as the others are concerned. He's not hiding from the label. He's rejecting it because he's not one. If you try and make him one, then he'll use all his energy fighting you instead of accepting what he is, a child sex offender.
You sound sympathetic.
No, no. Empathic, perhaps. I'm a humanist, and there's a big difference. Whether you like it or not, you have to start where he is.
And where the hell is that?
Well, he can defend himself against a bogeyman, the pedo in the park, because he's not that. But if he admits to himself that he's still a sex offender, that he's still capable of abusing a child, then his self-esteem will collapse. It's too daunting for him. He was a teacher. He had social standing, social status. He's just trying to cling on to that version of himself for dear life.
Sorry. You just made him seem vulnerable again.
Oh, be careful, Christine. By all means, empathise, but don't collude with him. He's desperate for you to do so, to support his attempts to hang on to his self-esteem.
I won't. I told him so. I need him to face up to what he did.
Then hold the line with him. He needs some tough love, Christine, some real love, a mother's love.
Even if that love is conditional?
Especially if it's conditional. And stop beating yourself up, saying his behaviour is at odds with how you brought him up. No one raises a child to be a sex offender.
I worked so hard when he was little. I challenged any negativity towards girls. Tried to make him respectful. I remember the day I found some dirty magazines in his room. So degrading and disrespectful. I was so angry with him. So disappointed.
You weren't the first mother to find her son's stash of pornography, and you certainly won't be the last.
But I wanted him to be different. I needed him to be. I was terrified it might be genetic.
What is it, Christine? Christine?
Not here. Here we are again. People will talk. What he did, Tony. What he did to her. It happened to me. I was the same age, little older perhaps. My brother. You're only the second person I've ever told.
Bless you. I'm guessing Tony isn't the other person who knows.
Good God, no. His father. I didn't really want to tell him, but I felt I had no choice. I was rubbish in the bedroom department. I saved myself for him, as we did in those days. I'd hoped that getting married would be a turning point, leave me feeling secure enough to move on. But it didn't. I couldn't bear his touch. He was confused, devastated. So I felt I had to tell him everything. He was bloody lovely. Would just hold me for hours, telling me it wasn't my fault until gradually he gave me back my body.
He sounds like a wonderful man. Was he never tempted by revenge?
Revenge?
I just thought a man of that generation and it being in the family, he might have felt under some pressure to go after him.
Oh, there was no him to go after. He was in the forces, serving in Belfast. A car bomb went off on a patrol. He was blown to pieces, apparently. It was his first tour after. So that was that. Suddenly, he was gone, and he was a hero. And the rest of the family put him on a pedestal and mourned him, whilst I didn't know what to feel. Though I knew then I could never tell anyone. Not that I would have. He convinced me no one would believe me. And even if they did, no one would want to marry a young slag like me if they knew I'd been broken in by her own brother.
So you never got your day in court?
No. Unlike Tony's poor victim, I'll never forget the look on her face outside court when she saw us getting out the taxi together. She looked so vulnerable. I think I knew then that he'd done what they said. And I admired her. A child doing the right thing, whilst my adult son walked into court, arm in arm, with his mummy, determined to lie his way out of a situation he'd created at her expense. I couldn't have done it. Even if I had been offered my day in court, I couldn't have done what she did.
Well, maybe there's more than one way to have your day in court, Christine.
What do you mean?
This might sound crazy, but hear me out. You should tell him.
Tony? God, no, I couldn't.
It might help, Christine.
Oh, I couldn't possibly talk about sex with him. It's far too personal.
But you expect him to?
Sorry?
Talk about sex to a group of strangers.
I was a victim, for Christ's sake. He's an abuser.
I know that, Christine.
Why are you doing this?
I'm just being the devil's advocate.
Foot in both camps? That must be exhausting for you.
Look, Christine, I'm just trying to help you. It's just an idea. I'm well aware of the dynamics here. I'm not saying that you two are equal. But as I say, forcing him into a neat little box won't help him. He'll just resist and do all he can to hang on to his fragile self-image. Telling him about your abuse might just be the catalyst he needs to face up to what he did, to his abuse.
I can't.
You're still his mother. It's not too late to be a role model for him.
I can't. There's just no way.
Show him how to face up to a terrible thing.
No.
Show him how to be an adult.
No.
Show him what real courage looks like, Christine. I could pull some strings at Littledale. Set up a private visit in the chaplaincy there. Just think about it, eh?
Mum, what's going on? Are you all right?
Nothing's wrong, love.
Your letter was vague and the men on the wing, they reckon you're going to get bad news here.
I'm fine. I just needed some privacy. And a lovely chaplain I met at Wyburn arranged this for us.
My mind's been racing. They gave me a cup and saucer. Christ, I haven't seen a cup and saucer in over 6 months, let alone been offered a drinking one. I thought it must be cancer.
It's not.
She has cancer and she wanted to tell me herself.
I'm not ill. Oh, shush. I need to tell you something. Something I hope might help.
I don't understand. What do you mean it might help? Help what?
Please, listen to me, Tony. This isn't easy for me. When I was 15, my brother, your Uncle Stephen, he did what you did to me. I was home alone. First time ever, really. Mum and Dad were at a works dinner and dance. He was on leave and gone into town, drinking with his friends. I was still in my new summer dress, been to a junior disco at the community centre. I was just enjoying having the house all to myself, playing a new T-Rex single on Dad's huge radiogram whilst he was out. I wasn't allowed to play my singles on it. He said they'd ruin his precious bloody needle. But he, your Uncle Stephen, he came home unexpectedly, stinking of ale, with blood on his shirt. He'd been in a fight over a girl and needed to change so he could get into a club. I suppose I was angry with him for spoiling the moment. So when he asked me to iron a fresh shirt for him, I said no. Reminded him the army had taught him how to iron a shirt, so it would cost him if he wanted me to do it for him. That's when he turned nasty. He said he ironed his own shirt every fucking day on duty and that he wasn't going to iron one whilst he was on leave. So I went to my room to get out of his way. After half hour or so, he came in, saying he was sorry. And he sat next to me on the bed, put his arm around me. His hand kept brushing my breast, but I gave him the benefit of the doubt because he was so drunk. But then he...
You don't have to do this, Mum.
I said, shush. Then he gently, but firmly pushed me down onto the bed, lifted up my dress.
Mum, please.
He told me I'd blossomed since his last leave. Blossomed. It's such a beautiful word. And the thing was, Tony, I had blossomed since he'd been away. I'd grown breasts, started my periods. I was turning into a young woman before my very eyes, and it was exciting. But it was frightening too. I was out of sync. It was as if there were two of me. On one level, physically, I was flying. But on another, emotionally, I was still a child and I needed time to catch up. I didn't know what to make of my new body and the boys' and men's reactions to it. I had bloody blossomed since he last saw me. But it didn't give him the right to... So there I was, lying frightened, confused on my own bed, looking up at posters of Mark Bolan and David Cassidy smiling down on me, whilst having my knickers pulled down by my brother, and about to be, to use the prosecution's words,
deflowered. I saw you flinch. I saw you flinch when he said it. I don't know what to say, Mum. I don't know what to say to you.
I'm not telling you this to punish you, Anthony. This place appears to be doing a grand job of that. I just needed you to know. Because I know. I know what that poor girl went through, is still going through. And that's why I can't bear to hear you blame her. She was a child who blossomed. And you thought that gave you the right, just like my brother did with me.
Oh, God. What have I done?
My abuser never got to face up to it. He never got to look himself in the mirror and know he was in the wrong. He went to his grave thinking he had the right to do what he did. Just because I'd blossomed. I don't want you to do the same, Anthony. You have a chance to face up to what you did and understand why. You have a chance. She'll know, Tony.
What do you mean?
When you're ready for release, she'll get a visit from a victim's liaison officer. She'll be told where you're likely to live and what you did and didn't do in prison. And if she knew you'd faced up to what you did, then she might just get her real day in court. She might just start to believe that it was your fault and in no way hers. Because that's what happens, Tony. No matter what the dynamics, you feel like it must be you. Maybe it was something you said, the way you acted, the way you dressed. You spend months, years wondering why you didn't say, scream, no, please stop. But the thing is, you don't. You just freeze, Tony. Part of you still expects, hopes, that the adult will do the right thing. But he didn't. And neither did my own son, all those years later. I don't know what to say, Mum. I don't want you to say anything. I want you to do something. I want you to do the right thing, Anthony. You didn't then, but you can now. For God's sake, love, do the right thing.
So, here we are again.
Makes a change from a car park.
You've come full circle.
God, I wish I had.
Sorry?
I wish I was sat on the sofa in my M&S best waiting for Tony to pick me up and take me out for a Sunday roast. That would be full circle, Dominic.
Well, you're certainly a big step closer to doing that again, Christine.
It's all thanks to you.
Ooh, hardly. Here, I've got something for you. It's a letter to his victim.
What?
Don't worry. He won't be sending it. It's an exercise from the programme. One of the last to gauge progress. Tony wanted you to see it, but the facilitators wouldn't let him send it out to you. In any case, he didn't want you to be alone when you read it, so he asked if I could get a copy for you to read.
Dear Hayley. I wanted to let you know just how genuinely sorry I am for what I did to you.
For abusing you. I was so flattered when you said you fancied me and failed to acknowledge that acting on my sexual attraction to you was highly inappropriate given both your age and my position of trust. I made excuses in my head so that I could take advantage of you. I told myself that you were old for your age and interpreted your sexual experience with your boyfriend as you being sexually available to me. I also told myself that I didn't force you and that you must have enjoyed it as you never told me to stop. I have since learned that this is common and not resisting or saying no does not mean you are comfortable or giving consent. I have also learned that many victims, especially children, are confused by abusive behaviour and often blame themselves. Nothing you did or didn't do made any of this your fault. I am to blame for everything. You will no doubt remember that I was furious with you for telling and I was the one who felt betrayed. I realise now that as you matured, you started to make sense of what I did to you, and that your disclosure will have been triggered by numerous feelings including pain, humiliation, betrayal and anger to name a few. These feelings must have been compounded by my not guilty plea, as this led to you having to go to court and give evidence. This must have been really daunting for you. I pleaded not guilty because I was desperately trying to cling on to what I had and who I was. I now know that this was an appalling thing to do, and by entering such a plea, I was essentially calling you a liar and hoping the jury would believe me and not you. I was more than happy to have my defense lawyer attempt to discredit you, and I now know that this would have re-victimized you. In fact, on the day, I was told that you were a highly credible witness, and to be brutally honest, Hayley, my late guilty plea was again entered to serve my needs and not yours, having been informed that I would have no doubt been found guilty and get a longer sentence. I remember how relieved you looked when I changed my plea, but you had already been exposed in such a public arena, and the damage was already done. I should have never dragged you to court, Hayley. I am so sorry for all that I did to you. I sincerely hope that you're getting on with your life and somehow are able to put what I did behind you.
Yours sincerely, Anthony Aston.
You okay?
Yeah. Just letting it sink in.
He's made amazing progress. The psychometric tests they do at the end of the programme suggest it's genuine too. He's not just saying what people want to hear. I have a confession to make, Christine.
Well, you're in the right place.
When I asked you for whose benefit you wanted Tony to complete the programme...
Yeah, you asked me a number of times.
Well, it was because I didn't trust you.
I see.
I thought that you were pushing him to help you make sense of it, and when you told me you were a victim too, I thought so even more. That's why I suggested you tell him. It wasn't just because I thought that it would genuinely help.
You were testing me.
Yes. I had no right to, but I thought that if you told him, it was for the right reasons. I pushed you to tell Tony to see who you were really doing it for.
Well, you don't have to beat yourself up, Dominic. You were right to. I think part of me did want him to do the programme to help me understand. You made me realise that, and I'm grateful. Though telling him was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my entire life.
It worked, though, eh?
Yes, it did.
Come on, I'll walk you to the visitor's centre.
You look well.
I feel it, Mum. It's funny, but I've never felt better. I'm still stuck in here with all these miserable bastards, but I feel liberated. The relief of not having to lie to myself and others, not having to deny what I did all the time. It's tangible.
Denial's functional, Tony.
Listen to you. But it's only a hiding place, and not a particularly robust one at that. Can't really hide from the truth. You know in your heart that if you cross the line like that, you can never go back. So you start to deny you really crossed it. You were drunk. She wasn't really a child. She initiated it. I was gentle. I'm not as bad as those other sex offenders. Those that abuse the little children. But I did cross that line, and now I fully accept that I can never go back to my old self and my old life. I have to keep moving forward, and now the only way I can do that is to face up to what I've done, to face up to the truth, and the truth is, I'm a child sex offender. I'm really sorry, Mum. What I did, and on top of what you went through yourself, it must have been a total nightmare for you. It's unforgivable.
It was. Still is a nightmare, love. It rips my heart out seeing you in this place. And I can't deny your abuse reopened wounds that I thought had long healed. But you weren't responsible for my abuse. Only yours. I read your letter to Haley. You've clearly made amazing progress, son. To hear what you would say to her, if you could, was very moving. It was such a relief to hear you take responsibility for what you did. And to remind her that it wasn't her fault, but yours. I only hope she gets to hear that from someone for real, if she hasn't already done so. If I'm honest, reading it was somewhat therapeutic for me. Not only was I reminded that I wasn't to blame for my abuse either, I realised I was getting my son back and I could love him again.
I could have never written that letter without your disclosure, Mum. Or your tough love. I'd still be in Little Dale. Pretending I was in for fraud. Real fraudster. Blaming a child for what I did to her.
Well, you're certainly no fraudster, son. Not anymore. So, what happens next?
I've got some post-programme meetings with the tutors and my probation officer in the next couple of weeks. Then there's a formal graduation ceremony for the participants.
I'm guessing parents aren't invited.
No, Mum. Sorry, but there won't be any posing in a silly cap and gown for photos this time. It'll just be me and a bunch of other nonces getting a certificate from the governor. Not one for the mantelpiece, eh?
Do you know what, love? I feel just as proud of you now as I did when you graduated from university.
Really?
Really. I know it must have taken real courage for you to complete the programme and take responsibility for your abuse, and I respect you so much for doing so.
I can't tell you what it means to hear you say that you're proud of me and that you have respect for me. I never thought I'd hear such words from anyone again, least of all you.
I'm just telling you how I feel, love. I was happy to do so when you were in denial. Like you say, you've got to start looking forwards now, hey? What is it?
I had a dream a few nights ago. You remember Ellen?
Of course. Your first serious girlfriend.
After a year or so, you used to tease me about grandkids.
I did. Sorry.
Well, I dreamt that she and I had a kid. A boy, a grandson my dad always wanted. You and Dad were in the garden at the old house and were putting round to show you for the first time. You lifted him out the pram and you and Dad both started crying and fighting over who would hold him. You pulled rank. You held him so tight to your chest, stroking his head. I've robbed you of that, Mum. No woman in a million years would have a child with me. Not that I'd be allowed. Like you say, my actions have consequences. And I've robbed you of such a wonderful thing.
I lost my son. My only child. My angel. And there were times when I genuinely thought I'd lost you forever. But now I have you back. I'm so happy. And grateful. And the last thing I'm going to do now is start getting greedy and wishing I had grandchildren, so stop it. I love you, son.
A Mother's Love was produced by Cornucopia Radio. It was written by Paul Kenny and featured Caroline Cooper as Christine, Jonathan Sawyer as Tony, and Ian Carter as Dominic. It was directed by Peter Beeston. If you were affected by the issues raised in this drama, please visit prisonersfamilies.org.uk or nspcc.org.uk.